Welcome to the May issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. As May is membership month at AES, we start this issue with a message from the Society's senior officers about its mission, achievements, and the benefits of membership. Now, in this 70th year of our existence, the message begins, the Society can be described as more active, diverse, and influential than ever before. In the past few years, transformative efforts within the Society have provided even more benefits to membership and more effective channels to engage industry. There are papers on a wide range of topics in this month's journal, starting with a fascinating treatise on reinforcement learning of head-related transfer functions. Aisao Nambu and his colleagues offer an alternative to the personal measurement of HRTFs for virtual sound rendering with headphones. Other methods that attempt to personalize HRTFs without measurement still tend to result in localization errors, they say. An alternative is for the listener to learn a given HRTF rather than have the HRTF adapted to match their own. This takes advantage of the fact that the hearing process is highly adaptable, and results suggested that listeners can experience accurate virtual sound environments after having been through the learning process. In their paper on sensory profiling of high-end loudspeakers using rapid methods, Lucy Hicks, Samuel Mullen, and Soren Beck explain that fast sensory profiling can be useful because it doesn't require training and can use trained or untrained assessors. In this third article of a series on the topic, the check all that apply method of descriptive analysis was used. It generated a list of attributes that adequately described the sounds of the products in question, which were then used by naive assessors to evaluate them. It seemed that the approach successfully enabled discrimination between loudspeakers and a descriptive characterization of them. Wenhai Sing Lai and Sang Fu Liang go on to present a way of improving the naturalness of Taiwanese singing synthesis by controlling the fluctuation of the fundamental frequency. Unlike speech synthesis, they say, singing synthesis needs more precise contouring of the fundamental frequency in order to sound convincing. It's also an important feature for singing-related applications like music recognition and query by humming. Using a corpus of Taiwanese nursery rhymes, the authors established a range of statistics for each note, analyzing males, females, and children separately. They then proposed a controller that could be used to adjust the fundamental of synthesized notes so as to produce a pleasant singing voice. A fundamental aspect of loudspeaker modeling is the ability to calculate the time domain response of a driver, point out Jeff Candy and Klaus Futrup in the next paper. They come up with a numerical method to compute the time domain response using contour integration of a speaker's frequency response. The new approach is motivated by the need to implement viscoelastic and semi-inductance effects into time-dependent transducer calculations, they say. The new method is simple to implement, requires few function evaluations, and is remarkably accurate. For analyzing the step response in box models, the proposed contour method, based on Weidemann, can be universally applied with only a few additional lines of code. Now that interconnected devices have built-in microphones, acoustic event classification and monitoring is possible in all sorts of applications, from surveillance to wildlife tracking. So say Lode Vugen and his colleagues from KU Leuven in Belgium. Normally, sound events are classified by annotating data, which is an extremely laborious process. But in this case, the authors use an extended version of matrix deconvolution, where both the observation data and available labeling information are used during training. This low-resolution, multi-labeling approach seemed to work even in noisy conditions with overlapping events. It's said to classify events over a longer period of time without identifying their starts and ends. Hagen Wirstorf, Christoph Hold, and Alexander Raka finish up this month's slate of papers by looking into listener preference for different spatial reproduction systems and mixes in popular music. Listeners could compare 2- and 5-channel stereo with wave field synthesis using a large circular array of speakers, and they also evaluated a number of different mixing parameters on 4 pop music recordings. In general, it was found that differences between reproduction methods had a bigger influence over preferences than quite large variations of single mixing parameters. The WFS system seemed to be preferred most of the time, depending on the song content. Listeners particularly disliked balances with very wide spatial distribution of the foreground sources in the mix. This month's feature article by Francis Rumsey deals with the topical subject of virtual reality audio, on which the AES is holding a conference later this summer. Will it be a game changer, he asks, picking up a theme from a workshop panel held at a recent AES convention. VR is joined by its partner, Augmented Reality, which attempts to integrate elements of artificial environments with one's experience of the real world. At the AES 143rd convention, sessions in the game audio and VR track looked at the challenges and opportunities, as well as the workflows needed for success in this fast-evolving field. In standards news, we discover that the popular standard for audio applications of networks, AES 67, has been published in its 2018 version. At the same time, it gets its own logo and an option for self-certification by manufacturers to indicate their product's conformance to the standard. You'll find all this, plus our regular news of AES section meetings around the world and the latest product releases, in the May issue of the AES Journal, available for download today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.